Good to be in God's house this morning. Can I hear you say amen? Up there on the screen, I got Leviticus 14, so I'd like for you to turn there if you haven't already. Leviticus is the law, and sometimes we need a good dose of grace. Amen? Amen? Thank you for that. Every now and then, we need some law. And I'm just going to very quickly, I'm going to read the whole chapter, Leviticus 14. I should throw Leviticus 13 in on with it, but both these chapters are almost 60 verses long. And so anyway, but you need to be informed of the law. Okay, you need to be informed of the law. You're not a sinner until the law shows up and... The law has already showed up, and we've all broken God's law, okay? And I'm going to preach a message this morning. I'm just kind of going to teach some things and kind of put some things in remembrance this morning. Always, a good pastor will always worry about one of two things. Number one, he'll worry about saying the wrong thing and either hurting somebody's feelings or making somebody mad. And pastors can do that. We can say the wrong thing. God probably wasn't in it, and we can hurt feelings. I've undoubtedly done it with people. There's been times when I've known I've done it. There's been times that I didn't know I did it, but it's still out there anyway. Words that are said are hard to take back. Hey, don't give me this nonsense that words can never hurt me. That's foolishness. Okay? You can hurt me more with words than you can with sticks and stones. And so anyway, I always worry about that. And number two, a pastor will worry about saying the right thing in the right spirit and somebody still get mad about it. Okay? And I'd like, you know, we worry about that. But if we say the right thing, we say it in love and say it according to the word of God. And if you get mad at it, I'd do anything in the world for you, but I can't help you. I can't change the Bible. Okay? I can't change the Bible. So I want us to just concentrate on this. This may seem a little odd as we go through this, but just kind of bear with me. Let's read real fast. Leviticus 14, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses. And I want you to get that because this is God talking here, okay? There shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all of his hair and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all the hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in water and shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take two he lambs without blemish and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil and 1 log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean in those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering and the log of oil and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And while I'm reading this, don't worry that you don't understand this because you're not a priest. You don't have to worry about memorizing this, all right? But I just want to lay a foundation for what I'm going to preach. I want you to think about what's being taught here. Think about the law. Think about how serious God is about this issue we're dealing with here. The idea here is leprosy. And I'll go ahead and share this with you. Leprosy in the Bible is always a picture of sin and uncleanness. Okay? And I want to tell you something. God's a clean God. Okay? You nod your head and whatever. I'm telling you, God's a clean God. Okay? He likes clean things. And let me just keep going here. Verse 13, he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil that is in the hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness, and afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waved, and to make an atonement for him, and one tenth deal of a fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil. And two turtle doves or two young pigeons, such as he is able to get, and the one shall be a sin offering and the other a burnt offering. And he shall bring them on the eighth day for his cleansing unto the priest unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall pour the oil into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall sprinkle with the right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand seven times before the Lord. And the priest shall put the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, to make an atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer the one of the turtle doves or the young pigeons, such as he can get, even such as he is able to get, for the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering with the meat offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before the Lord. This is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when you be come into the land of Canaan, which I give you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me that there was a plague of leprosy in the house, or a plague in the house. And the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priests go in to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in and see the house. And he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow strakes, greenish or reddish, which inside are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. And if the plague come again and break out in the house after that he hath taken away the stones, and after he hath scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house, it is unclean. And he shall break down the house and the stones of it and the timber thereof and all the mortar of the house, and he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Moreover, he that goeth into the house all the while that it is shut up shall be unclean until the evening. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. And if the priest shall come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop, and he shall kill the one of the birds in the earthen vessel over running water, and he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the living bird, dip in the blood of the slain bird and the running water, and sprinkle the house seven times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the running water and with the living bird and with the cedar wood and with the hyssop and the scarlet. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open fields and make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy and scall, and for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, and for a rising and for a scab and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. I feel like they did in Congress when they had to read the health care bill. They had to hire in a speed reader to come in and read 2,000 pages worth of bills that nobody knew what was in it. Let's pray, and I'm going to ask God to bless the message, and you pray for me and pray that God will bless the message and God will bless our church. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for the law. I love the law. God, there's great things in the law. I love it, Lord, when the law is in my life. I love it when the law is in my family. I love it when the law is in our church. Father, I love it when the law works in our country. But Lord, Father, we're so unlawful, dear God, in a lot of things in our life, God and Lord. We need straightened out. We need, Father, Lord, to get a good dose of the law. And to know, dear God, that just because you died for our sins, Lord, you're still serious about the law. You're serious, dear God, about things that are not right in our life. And Father, Lord, I needed this message. God, you needed to show me this message and help me with it. And I thank you for it. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you'd let it be a blessing and not a curse to these people. And pray, Father, Lord, that nobody leaves out of here mad or disgruntled or upset or anything like that. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you just soften hearts and help us realize, dear God, that you're the one that's going to speak to us and it's not me. Lord, don't let me say anything stupid. Don't let me hurt somebody's feelings unnecessarily. And Lord, Father, just I pray, dear God, that you would open the book, dear God, and you would preach and your spirit would work inside of our hearts. Father, Lord, just help us and help me to preach this message and put a good spirit in this place. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and all of God's people said, amen. The reason why I read, I'll explain to you why here in a minute, why I wanted to read the entire chapter. And there's actually, if you go back to Leviticus 13, you'll see that there's more that deals with the law of leprosy. And in fact, in the whole book of Leviticus, leprosy is mentioned several times. And it was a situation, you'll read in the book of Leviticus, if you'll read it. And I'm going to say, I dare say, probably most of you have never read the book of Leviticus. And if that's true, shame on you. You say, well, it doesn't really get me like the other places. But who said anything about the Bible had to get you every time you read something? I want to tell you something. What you need is knowledge is what you need. You're not going to get any wisdom in your life until God puts some knowledge in you. And not, I don't care how they're teaching kids in schools anymore. Back in the old days, he used to make them read. And by the way, you used to make them spell right too. Amen? Okay, you used to make them read books and read books and read texts. And now they don't do it that way anymore. But I want to tell you something. You need to read the Bible. If you can read, you ought to read. Okay? But I want to tell you something. There's a blessing by reading the law. God will show you great things out of this thing. And leprosy in the Bible is always a picture of sin. He calls it unclean. Unclean. How many times in that chapter did God say something that was unclean? It was unclean. It was unclean. It was not right. And then how many times? Look at the law concerning what it took to declare something to be clean. And God said, now, if you think there's leprosy in your house, call the priest and have him go in there and look at it. If he sees leprosy in the house, then really, he told him to do according to that? Take every stone of that house apart, brick by brick, scrape off the mortar, scrape off everything that is, and put it back together again with clean mortar. If it's still leprosy in that house, take the timbers, the bricks, the mortar, everything that is in that house, take it physically apart, take it outside the city to an unclean place, and drop it off there. You've just lost your house. Now, let me go to this verse up here on the screen here. Psalm 119:9. We're going to look at this here and again. Wherewithal shall a young man do what? Cleanse what? His way. And that verse has been in me all week. It didn't say anything about cleansing his teeth or anything like that. It said cleansing his way. And there's something that we need to get in our minds. God gave me this message early on this week, and I've just been pondering it all week. Thinking about my own life, thinking about my own testimony. My testimony in my house. My testimony to my wife and my testimony to my children. My testimony here to this church. And I'm not talking about what we look like here. Because I'm looking around, everybody, a lot of you guys got shirts and ties and the Christmas clothes. Amen, got the Christmas clothes on. A lot of you ladies look nice. Who in here got perfume on? You're trying to cover up everything. And I'm not talking about how you are here in church. Because I think everybody in this church would agree that God's house ought to be a clean house. Amen? God's house ought to be a clean house. That means when you throw gum in your mouth, you don't wad that wrapper up and put it down in where the hymn books go. You don't do that. You don't come in here with your coffee and your soda and spilling stuff all over the floor. You don't do that. Amen? Don't give your kids melting chocolate bars in the church service, because where are they going to wipe their hands? Now you think I'm being petty, but I'm here to tell you, God's a clean God. God is not a dirty God. And so I think when we come into the house of God, I think the house of God ought to be clean. I think it ought to be kept clean. Amen? Because it's an attitude. It's a mind frame. Because if you think that you can come into the house of God and just do whatever you want to and act however you want to and throw stuff everywhere, things like that, that might just be a representation of what is in your inner being. And I'm going to preach on cleanliness here for probably the next 25 minutes. I'm going to preach on cleanliness and right off the bat. And I'm going to be talking about spiritual cleanness and the cleanness that is on the inside of us. But I will also tell you that as Christians, some people cannot handle this kind of preaching. But I'm here to tell you, take a bath. Take a bath. Clean your body. Wash your hair. Brush your teeth. Clean your ears out. Amen. Listen, I think God's people ought to be clean people. Clean people. Not just clean as far as our spiritual life is concerned. I'll get to that in a minute. But I'm talking about clean physically. Clean your house. Hey, who's ever seen this show called Hoarders? That's disgusting. They have all kinds of, and somebody's psychologically messed up, but I'm going to tell you something. They need some gospel in their life that'll teach them how to be clean. You know what's wrong with most churches now? They're not clean. They won't take the time to read the law of cleanliness out of the Old Testament. They'll put up some little popsicle verses up on the screen to make everybody feel good, something sweet and something that's a bunch of candy up there, but won't tell them that God tells us to be clean. He said, clean your house. Clean your house. Clean your room. Clean your office. Clean your car out every now and then. Get them old nasty McDonald's french fries out of the seat. Amen. There was a time in this country, our grandmothers knew how to clean a house. It was because the law existed in the hearts of the people of this country and people knew how to clean. It was a clean country. And we're not clean anymore. So I'm just right off the bat, cleanliness is next to godliness. That verse is not in the Bible, but the principle is. God is a clean God. And with all the things that we have, the highest standard of living in this country, and everybody in this church has got running water and a bar of soap. Take a bath, brush your teeth, make yourself smell good. Somebody say amen. Wash your clothes. Amen. Okay. Now, if somebody comes in here, it's all stinky and nasty and dirty and things like that, we're not going to say, hey, there's a shower downstairs. Now, let's give them the gospel first and God will clean them up. Amen. I remember this old boy got saved in this church a long time ago. I'm going to tell you, bless his heart. Bless his heart. He had long hair. He had a beard and everything like that. Nobody had to say a word to him. He got saved. He got right with God. And all of a sudden, I'm not preaching against beards, but he's just old woolly looking guy, And he got saved and nobody said a word. Within 2 weeks, had his hair cut, has shaved, clean looking. He said, God's cleaned my life up. I just want to be clean. Amen. Now if you're mad at that one, just go to sleep for the next 20 minutes. It says there on the screen in the book of Psalm 119, the book of Psalm 119 is all about the law. It's all about the word. It's all about the Bible. And I was going to do this and I was going to put it up on the screen. There in the tabernacle deal, when God told Moses to build the tabernacle, There was right as you come in the gate of the tabernacle, before you went into the sanctuary, was a great big old bowl full of water. It was called the laver. It's where we get the word lavatory from. Lavatory is where the water is. It's the water closet. And lavatory is where you clean yourself. I'm glad that there's a law in this country that says that a restaurant employee must wash their hands in the lavatory. Am I right, Brady? And is that law necessary? How many of these young punks you think work at McDonald's that are not used to washing their hands? Maybe we got to put big signs everywhere. Clean yourself. Okay? And so anyway, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And that phrase there implies and talks about your lifestyle and how you live and how you conduct yourself, your character. Probably everybody in this room, in one way or the other, needs some character cleansing. Because our character is rough and our character is a little bit dirty. Can I preach things? Can I? Not everything that we look at on television is clean. And we know it. We know it. And I'm going to show you some verses here in a minute I hope it'll help you. Because I believe God wants His people clean. I believe He wants His church clean. Amen? I mean, y'all would probably run me out if I come out here with a big old cigar preaching, flicking ashes all day. I know, you may not vote me out. My wife will kill me. There's a big doormat out here in the front that when you come in, what are you supposed to do with it? Clean your feet. Brand new carpet here. Got to clean your feet. I believe God wants the house, not just the physical house of the Lord clean, but I believe God wants the church people clean as well. Can I hear you say amen? I believe God wants the church people clean, inside and out. And I'm going to show you a verse here in a little bit. You've got to start looking at areas in your life that are not clean. And I'm just going to touch on some. I preached on some of this before, and I'll keep preaching it. Okay? It just every now and then might be a reminder to us that not everything's right in our life. If I didn't from time to time preach on certain things, I promise you what it would do is it would create an atmosphere or an idea in your life. Well, he's not preaching on it. I guess it's okay now. Because I'm just saying that about you because I know that that is how I am. If I'm not reminded of stuff every now and then, I'll tell you what, my life will go downhill fast. Okay? So number one, what are you watching on television and is it clean? And there was a time in this country that the television they had was called the family hour. You remember that? That means they didn't have anything bad or anything like that because they knew kids were going to be watching TV. Now, for some reason, they thought, well, after the kids go to bed, we can kind of break the rules a little bit. The family hour is now gone. Okay? And I'm not talking about just dirty, nasty things. I'm talking about sexual situations that are unclean before God. If you don't want your kids turning out that way, turn it off. Get it off the television set. What do you think is promoting the lasciviousness and the adultery and the homosexuality and all the alternative lifestyles that are going on? What do you think is promoting that? Who do you think? Do you think that the Hollywood executives have an agenda? They sure do. Their agenda is to destroy the morality root that is in this country. And they've just about got it all dug up. And how did they do it? They did it through the visualization of alternative lifestyles coming into the living rooms of Christian homes. No wonder our families are busting up. We sit around all day long, all night long, sit around watching television. Well, I watch the clean shows. The commercials are dirty too. And I'm not just talking about sexual filth. I'm talking about rock and roll music. I'm on television. I'm talking about most of what's on Disney Channel and a lot of what's on Nickelodeon for our kids is nothing but witchcraft, sorcery, and mysticism. It's garbage. We're trying to tell them the Bible's true. And they're watching fantasies on television at a young... And you say, well, it doesn't really affect them. I'm going to tell you what it affected me. I cannot tell you how many times things I read when I was a kid, I wanted to be a warlock. Still got to be careful with it. I'm not as bad as I used to be. But I can tell you, it affects our kids. Careful about taking them to the show. Talking about going to the Red Box. Maybe we'll amen later. I'm just saying, our homes are dirty because we're piping in the filth. Okay? And paying good money for it, too. Yeah, we're going to watch TV. You don't have to watch everything that's on. In fact, you've got it good. You don't even have to get up, turn the thing off, or turn the channel. You don't even have to get up anymore. The music industry has single-handedly corrupted entire generations of the American society. If you think that a bunch of guys sitting around in these music studios that did not have an agenda, I'm telling you, the Beatles had an agenda. They admitted it. And I'm going to tell you something. At 1963, they're going to tell you where this country, how far this country came. 1963, when the Beatles started moving in, there was calls all across the country, not from the preachers, but from just people saying, we're going to have a record burning, and we're going to burn every Beatle record we can get our hands on in public. We want every God-fearing American to show up and burn these Beatle records. And they did. You know why? They realized that these men represented a threat to the moral fabric of society. Were they right? And the Beatles were just the tip of the iceberg. In 10 years' time, from 1963 on, we lost an entire generation of people. Gone. And is it better now? Is the music industry better now than it was then? Guess how many... Listen to this. Everybody listen to this now. You probably would be surprised to know how many of the young people who sit in this church listen to the rap music with the filthy language in it. You'd be surprised. I don't know. But that kind of music has so pervaded our young people today. It's very rare to find one that does not listen to it. And we expect them then to listen in Sunday school, if you bring them. We expect them to listen to the Bible as it's being preached. We expect them to grow up halfway decent. I'm telling you, they don't have a chance. They're going to, if they put in garbage, garbage is going to come out. Do we not know that? Okay? The music, and I'm not going along with it. For any reason, I'm not going along with it. The television, the books, the internet websites, which you ought not be on. The magazines you've got hid somewhere that you don't want anybody to find out about, that you ought not have. Okay? You feed your mind with that kind of garbage, that's what kind of marriage you're going to have. It's the kind of life you're going to have. And we come in here and sing, you know, the blood, and this, and that, and the other. I'm going to tell you something, we need some blood. We are dirty-minded. We're dirty-mouthed. Unclean things coming out of our mouth. Things shouldn't be talked about in public. We talk about them. Things that shouldn't be said, we say them. Just filthy. See, we're not defiled by what goes in, are we? You know, we're showing the defilement that is already there because it will come out. It'll come out in our words. It'll come out in our actions. It'll come out in what our eyes are running off to. The defilement is going to come. If you're going to continuously put in dirty things in your life, I promise you, at some point, they're coming out of you. You can't hold it in. You can't manage it. You can't do it. Who in here believes I'm preaching to y'all but not me? Put your hand down, Caleb. I'll preach to you later, bud. And it will be to you. Amen. I have a responsibility to this young man. I have a responsibility for what he sees on television. And for what I let him listen to on a CD player or MP3 player or the radio or whatever. I have a responsibility to him. And you. Thank you. I got a responsibility to you too to tell you, hey, I'm telling you this stuff's no good. You say, well, I like it a lot. I'm telling you, listen, you'd be amazed at what I like to listen to. What I would really like to listen to. I can't do it. What I'd really like to watch, I can't watch it. And it's a constant battle with me. So I'm not judging anybody here as if I live this really, really super high clean life and I couldn't wait to get here to tear you all apart. Because God dealt with me all week. Okay? And I'm here standing to tell you now, there's some things I'm just not going to go along with because they're wrong. And I'm going to preach against them. I'm going to preach against them. The dirty jokes that we either listen to or tell, that's defilement, that's unclean, that's wicked. You ought not say stuff like that. You ought not let your kids say stuff like that, hear stuff like that. If you're sitting here today and you've got a foul mouth, curse words roll out of you, you need some cleaning. I want to tell you something. You needed to have a mama that shoved a bar of soap down in your throat. Been there, done that. Amen. But I'm just telling you. And by the way, clean up the hangouts. Let me get into some of these areas that are clean. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? I'm going to show you the end of the verse here in a little bit. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? The truth of it is, David's asking a legitimate question because you see, I don't know how to clean. I don't know how to clean it. Now, let me just give you an illustration here on how important it is to be clean. Okay? I just came 2.5 weeks ago out of surgery. They gave me some stuff while I was at home the night before to clean my entire body with. I mean, all over, skin cleansing stuff, okay? And when we get into the surgery room, I'm hoping that everything in that surgical room has been wiped down, sanitized, and cleansed, because they're going to poke holes in me and shove stuff in under my skin, and I want that stuff to be clean. They remarked the other day when I went to the doctor and they pulled the stitches out and they said, these look really good. You know why? Because somebody cleaned up. Somebody cleaned the instrument. Somebody cleaned that place there. So that when they were invading my body, they weren't taking a bunch of germs in with it. They asked me the other day, I was getting shots, preparing to go to Kenya. And they said, well, you just had surgery. Aren't you on antibiotics? I said, no. No, I'm not on antibiotics. Don't need them. Somebody cleaned the room. The truth of it is, we can't clean really what's on the inside of us. We need it to be cleaned for us. So the question is, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? We'll get into that here in a little bit. Matthew 23. You ought to go read Matthew 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Think about what he's saying here. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Be stupid to go spend $400 or $500, Bradley, to buy yourself a dishwasher that only cleaned the outside of the stuff. Amen? Amen. So we're all sitting here, got our nice suits on, all looking nice and clean and smelling good and everything like that. Took bath before we came to church and all that stuff. That's not the important part. The important part is what's on the inside of you needs to be cleaned up. Needs to be clean. And if not, then you are a hypocrite and you are a Pharisee. There's something wrong with you. Come in here, and I'll tell you, churches are full of it. That's why lost people won't have anything to do with church anymore, because they know the truth. They're next door neighbors to these people that put their suits and ties on, their nice dresses, and they go to church, but they can hear what's coming out of their house during the week. They wouldn't give you a dime for a box full of church people. Psalm 19, the fear of the Lord is what? Clean. enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from what? Secret faults. I'm not talking about the stuff that you admit to everybody that you do. I'm talking about the stuff that you don't admit. The stuff that you don't talk about. The stuff that you got rolling around. The stuff that you probably had rolling around in your head last night. That's what I'm talking about. That's the area of your life that really needs to be cleaned. It really needs to be worked on. Because if it's in there, it just likes to come out. God designed us that way. Do you believe that? Say amen. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. So number one, he's saying, number one, take a bath physically. And number two, take a spiritual one. Take a spiritual one. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That is something that you don't hear preached too much anymore, is holiness, personal holiness, personal responsibility, personal accountability for your own actions, your own thoughts, your own deeds, and your own private time when no one else is around. Personal responsibility for that. Okay? Well, I can watch this as long as the kids ain't in the room. If it's bad, if it's going to mess our kids up, what do you think it'll mess us up? And behold, there came a leper. See, this was about leprosy, wasn't it? Can God clean lepers? Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I want you to notice something. The person who is going to be cleaned has to want to be cleaned. Now, I've known some people in my life, and I'm sure you have too, that cleaning was just not for them. There's always somebody you know that just don't take a bath, don't clean themselves up, don't do anything about it, don't care how they smell, nothing. They don't care. And we talk about people like that behind their back. Oh, boy, that person, whoo, man, I hate to get around them. Oh, my goodness, it's terrible. But let's talk about us for a minute. The truth of it is, bottom line, is probably some people sitting in the church don't want to be clean on the inside of you. What a shame. What a shame that you're inside your life is a personal little pig pen and you don't want it any different. You like the filth. You like the dirt too much. And in order to be clean, there has to be a personal desire in you that for once in your life you'd really like to be clean. And this young man had leprosy, and he came to, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He believed him, but he wanted it bad. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Is that what you want in your life? Is that what you want in the inner part of your being? Do you really want to be clean from these things? Psalm 51, by acknowledgement to the chief musician of Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him, and after he had gone into Bathsheba, he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from sin, for I what? I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. I'm going to tell you what your problem is. Your problem is that you don't think that the things that you do are wrong. Well, let the Word of God tell you that they are. In fact, the more of this you get in your life, the less of the things of this world is going to be in your life. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Your problem is this Bible right here. That's your biggest problem. You will not read. You will not listen. You don't care nothing about it. You shun the Word of God while you fill your life with filth. Acknowledge that some of the things that you're listening to is not right. Acknowledge that some of the people you're hanging around with is not right. And I don't care if they are just on Facebook. Shouldn't have mentioned that, should I? Not everybody that's your friend on Facebook is your friend. Okay? I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. You get clean by acknowledgement. You get clean by substitution. And the Levites were purified and they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord, and Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. Listen, I don't care who was. My wife told me that, she said, guess who's coming to town? She said, Joel Osteen's coming to town. And I said, whoop-de-doo-doo. You know what Joel Osteen will tell you? Brandon, you know what Joel Osteen will tell you? Joel Osteen will smile at you with this $400 smile he's got, or $1 million smile, and he'll tell you that if you just change your thought patterns and your thought waves and your brain waves, and if you'll just have positive thoughts and say positive words all the time and read positive books and just everything's positive, everything's on the plus side, if you'll just do that, well, then you'll clean yourself. I want to tell you something. That's the biggest trap that the religious crowd has ever laid before mankind. You cannot cleanse yourself. It requires a substitution. It requires some. Listen, I'm not trying to be vulgar or anything like that, but for a week, physically, after surgery, I could not clean myself. I had to have somebody help me. I had to have my wife help me. Okay? And I'm just telling you, by the way, she needs cleaned up. Not Lisa, the little baby, okay? Needs cleaned up. Amen? Isn't it good to get babies clean? Amen? Okay? And I'm just saying to you that it requires a substitution. You cannot change your thoughts. Joel Osteen wrote in his book, if you will change your thoughts, God will change your life. Well, I'm out. When you let God change your life, He'll change your thoughts as well. You can't do it. Jesus said, which one of you, by just thinking about it, can add one cubit of height to your stature? Positive mental attitudes and all this garbage that's being fed to church people all over the country, it's leading you to, you know what's setting you up for? Because eventually, you'll be looking at all those church people saying, well, it's working for them. How come it's not working for me? And you'll think that you're too bad and too dirty to be in God's kingdom. The only problem is that you were told that you could do it yourself, and you can't. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba, he did not say, I just need to clean my act up. That's not what he said. He asked God to clean him. By an intercessor. For a multitude of the people, every man of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet they did eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. Now, let me tell you what this story was. Hezekiah come in, was going to bring revival to the land. And all of a sudden the Passover rolled up, and they had not, there were certain priests and certain people that had not gone through the ritual cleansing procedures in order to partake of the Passover. They were still defiled. Which, according to the law then, they couldn't take the Passover, but then the law required that they take the Passover. So watch, I'm going to tell you how good God is. Watch this. So they had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. You know what I'm here to tell you? That prayer will cleanse you. An intercessory prayer. Now, I want you to hang on this, because number one, the great intercessor for us is Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And he intercedes in our behalf, and he says, Father, I know they're not clean, but God, would you clean them? And God listens to his son, and God will clean them. Now, hang on to this one. Dads and moms, I believe it works in the home too. See, in my nature, what I want to do is I just want to go through my house and throw. I mean, every now and then I get fed up, want to throw the satellite box out in the yard, want to throw the big screen TV out there, get rid of it all. Bless God, we're going to have a clean house. Well, that wouldn't go too well, probably. Probably wouldn't be the best thing in the long run to do. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'll try it one of these days, maybe I won't. But I know something that will. So you know what one of my jobs is, Wayne, as daddy, husband, is I'll get along with God. And after God's done dealing with me and my filthiness, I'll start praying, God, clean my wife. Because Christ prays for the church, doesn't he? Boy, that's good, isn't it? I'll say, God, clean my wife. Make us, Lord, in agreement in our own home. God, sanctify and clean my children. God, sanctify and clean my grandbaby. I believe in intercessory prayer. I believe God can clean some people's lives up just by you praying for them. Is that what you believe? You ought to. You really ought to. Hezekiah did. Hezekiah asked God, even though they had eaten the Passover without being cleansed, Hezekiah asked God to pardon them. You know what God did? He pardoned them. Cleaned them up. By separation and purging. I will tell you that asking God to help you and asking God to clean you is all well and good. But I want you to notice this. And they gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves, and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. And what they do, they brought out all the uncleanness they found in the temple of the Lord and the court of the house of the Lord. And Levites took it to carry it abroad into the brook Kidron. You know what they did? They said, you know what? I want this place clean. And we can't just say it's clean and leave it in there. Every now and then it's going to require a purging. There might be some things in your house that ought not be in there. Are you listening to me? Can you say amen to that? There might just be some things in your house. There might be some old records in your house that really you probably shouldn't have anymore. Probably some old tapes, some old CDs and stuff like that. There just might be some old magazines, stuff like that. You wouldn't want your kids looking through. So get rid of them. Don't say, well, you know, I'll sell that in a yard sale. Don't do that. Don't sell your filth to somebody else. Amen. Well, you know, this was Grandpa's collection of Playboy magazines. This ought to be worth something. You wouldn't do that, would you? You'd be surprised at how many yard sales you go to, they got somebody's old collection of Playboys laying out there. Yeah. Filthy! It's going to require, it might just require a little work on your part. Okay? It might just require a little work on your part. You might need to go through your own personal life and just start cleaning some stuff out. You might have to just say, hey, you know what, to some friends, you know what, I'm sorry. You guys are wanting to do this. I really can't do that. And you know what, you might make them mad. You never know. You might lead them to the Lord. You just never know. But they went into the priest. They went into the house of the Lord. They carried it out, buried it in the creek. Said, we're not having it no more. By removing the strangers. Thus cleansed I them from all strangers and pointed the words of the priests, the Levites, and everyone in his business. That goes along with that cleansing and purging deal. Okay? Get rid of the strangers. Get rid of the strangers out of your house. Get rid of the strangers out of the house of God. Not everybody that will come into this place is going to be for us. You just might as well mark it down. We probably got a big target on this church house because what's coming out of here? And every now and then somebody might come in, might think, everything. But I'm telling you, they won't be for us. And I'm not going to try to run them out. I'm going to let God do it. But they'll be strangers. And they'll say, well, maybe this church should go in this direction. No, this church needs to go in this direction. Amen. Get them out of your life. By stripes. This is what we don't like. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. And every time you see the word belly in the Bible, it has to do with the appetites. How many of you got appetites that need to be cleaned up? You know what I'm talking about? Desires of the flesh that need to be cleaned up. And you know what God says one of the best ways? How do we do it with our kids? Lay stripes on them, buddy. You say, that's child abuse. No, it ain't. You're saving them from hell. You know what you do? You're cleansing your children. You're purging the iniquity out of them. They will think twice before they do it again. And every now and then, God will lay the stripes to our back because we're His children. God will lay the stripes to our back to purge us and to cleanse us. It'll cleanse our motives. It'll purify our way so that we don't want to do that anymore. Are you listening to me? By the word, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto unto thy word. And I'm not just saying read it, although you ought to. I'm saying listening to it every now and then. Take heed to it. Instead of being mad at the preacher for preaching stuff that makes you mad, you ought to listen. Listen to the Bible. Listen to what God's trying to tell you. Listen to how things can be better in your life. How things can be clean in your house. How they can be clean in the house of the Lord. Read your Bible. By the word. Here it is. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. A clean house by the word, by the blood. I love it. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from how much sin? All sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That goes back to that acknowledgement part. If you're going to sit here and say, well, he's preaching on that stuff again, I'm just going to kind of look around here for a little bit and not pay attention until he's done because I don't think what I'm doing is wrong, then you're the one I'm preaching to. Listen, I'm not preaching you guys saying amen. I'm preaching you ain't saying amen. You're the ones I'm preaching to. Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge your wrong. Acknowledge that the things in your life are harmful and detrimental and they're unclean. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, say that with me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's done by the blood. There's nothing cleansed without the blood. You say, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't cleanse. I'm addicted to dirty words. I'm addicted to pornography. I'm addicted to Lady Gaga. What in the world are you addicted to Lady Gaga for? Good grief. But you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. I can't do it. I can't do it. All you got to do is ask God. You got to want to be clean. God, I need the blood applied. I need the blood applied. I'm so filthy and I'm so wretched. I'm so dirty on the inside. And God, I did good to take a shower this morning, but God, I cannot clean up my inside. God, would you do that for me? Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you,
And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God used to, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.